something you need to know.
Someone has betrayed me.
Varys.
He knows the truth about John.
He does.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Song of Ice and Spoilers. It is your Game of Thrones spoiler cast with me, Lee Chui Lin, as well as Ian McNally and Bahi Yusuf, we of Skip Intro. I don't even want to start. I'm so upset. Okay, right. I think we agreed that before we got into the nitty-gritty of episode 5, what we would do is take a look at a letter that came in regarding episode 4. And it came through from Florence on Facebook saying, disliked it more than episode 3. The writers seem to be packing everything quickly to finish the show. My biggest peeves, denying the Stark sisters a moment to respond to Jon's secret. It would have been a perfect setup to deal with the Dragon Queen's arc. 2. In caps, Ghost. Why the hell do they not give Ghost the moment he deserves? So lame. Really sick of the excuse with CGI budgets. 3. Jaime's arc. Oh, good luck with that. 4. That Dragonstone ambush. Again, more dumb tactical moves. Wasn't surprised to see that killing blow, but just dumb. 5. John has been made into a bumbling idiot. And what I really liked, Varys is finally back in business after almost a season of not doing anything interesting. And 2. That feast scene was decently setting up the rising antagonism between John and Dany. All right. Florence.
We've got bad news about Varys.
Yeah, sorry, Florence. We have some bad news about Varys.
He is toast.
He didn't make it through this one.
Honestly, all the problems, almost, I think, that Florence had with episode 4 are carrying through into episode 5. You know, Jaime is continuing to be the most stupid Lannister, as he self-proclaims. Just everything. What is good about this episode? What is good about this show at this point?
The dragon finally learned tactics. They finally learned how to attack from the side as opposed to head-on. Although attacking boats head-on works really well. Attacking castles from the side really works really well as well.
I just don't know anymore, man. I don't even know why I care anymore. I was watching this morning's episode. And you know what? I was talking to someone on Facebook earlier and she was asking me what I thought about it. And I was like, that's just a lot of explosions. Mm. It's just a lot of like... It just feels like, oh, we've got some leftover budget in the explosions.
But are they not doing that to kind of sell the idea that Dany's gone off the reservation? Like she's won.
Yes.
And she's still just burning the place because she's mad. And then all the wildfire, is that what they call it, right?
Yeah.
All the wildfire starts going off as well. It's like she's turning King's Landing into Queen's ruin.
Completely, but... There's just not enough story for me. There's a lot missing here.
Do we need that many repeating scenes of people burning and screaming and burning and
running
screaming?
Yeah, and
I get
dodging.
It. I get it.
No, it's exactly. Move on.
There were certain things that I thought they did well. I mean, Arya once again is sort of weirdly the audience avatar, right? She's the one who's kind of living through it, having stuff fall around her. And I suppose, you know, seeing the mighty Arya being brought down to just a girl scared in a city, something about that was quite effective. A bit more effective, I think, than asking me to care about random mother and daughter.
That random mother and daughter was weird. I kept expecting that to be Jaqen H'ghar again.
Something, yeah.
I was hoping it was Catelyn. I don't know. I was just hoping for something. It was a very strange episode. I mean, episode 4 was terribly disappointing for a lot of reasons. But episode 5, this was sold to us as kind of the last battle, the last war. It's supposed to be a moment. And instead, in every turn, they either rob us of the moment or undermine the moment right after it happened. Having Euron Greyjoy look at the sky and go, I'm the man who killed Jaime Lannister. Who cares? I'm sorry.
I like that line though, because it's like, it's totally him even as he's dying. He's like, ha ha, still beat you kind of thing. He's still an idiot doing that. I think the whole problem is the lack of time. That's what's happening. Is all this is just being exceptionally sped up because Weiss and Benioff and Weiss want to go off and do Star Wars. That seems to be what's going on. Because the whole arc with Dany, if it had been over 10 episodes or even over 2 seasons, that might have made more sense. And like, we don't need the dragon burning everyone over and over again, but it would have made more sense if we'd had more than 2 episodes of her moping and like 3 episodes of her being, maybe I'm a little bit evil. Like, it's only been those 3 episodes.
Yeah, and also it's just that build up of Dany being like, oh, I'm not the cutest girl in the party anymore. John is, you know, and everybody loving John and everybody wants to toast to John and I'm going to blow shit up. Just feels like that was quick. That was unnecessary. I want more story.
what's weird for me, I suppose, is that a lot of things aren't working, right? I mean, very clearly, you said what the issue here is time, but my thing is, I don't want to give them more time. I don't want to give them more time to show me explosions and stuff. I am done. You have killed the potential of the first two episodes with all that lovely character development and all the conversations that they were having. And now all you're doing is just... It's so strange because that moment where Dany looks around, right, where she's perched up there with Drogon and sort of looking around, looking at the ruins, looking at everything that's happening, and you can see the turmoil on her face, that scene actually worked for me. I felt it. I was like, wow. No, you know, if you've been told your entire life that this is your moment and you're here and it doesn't feel the way you want it to feel, I get it. I can kind of see where she's coming from, but it doesn't make a difference for me to like 30 seconds, you know, of a...
No,
but... Like, that moment should have been she sees that and then she realizes that it's not worth the price she's paid and then she goes a bit mad and burns everything. But we didn't get that. When I say more time, I want more time like those first two episodes. I want more of that character development. I want to see her going down the dark path. I don't want to see Game of Thrones, The Phantom Menace, where we start to see what's going... You know, where we get to see awful Darth Vader as opposed to a really well thought out and natural... A progression that feels natural. Like, it feels forced now.
Yeah, and I think that that comment about time is... Is a little, I think it's a little, it's a bit, it feels like there's an excuse to be made there because George R.R. Martin said they could keep going. HBO said they could keep going. Benioff was like, Benioff and Weiss were like, nope, I just want to do 8 episodes, this number of hours, and then I'm out.
8 seasons in a movie.
Yeah, but it's, the thing is, nobody's making them do just 8 episodes. Do 10, do 12, tell the story. It's like what Ian said earlier. They just, it's just like they want to get out of this house. They just want to move on.
Skip the big battle scenes and get us more politicking and like, you know, a siege of a siege of King's Landing where they're actually just bickering in tents for 2 or 3 episodes would be great.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. And at this point, again, the teleportation device and everybody's just like on, I don't know, really fast motorcycles.
Does Qyburn have a cell phone? How does he know?
What is going on?
How does he know that you know, the Iron Fleet is gone and don't worry about that they've reached
the wall. Runners, those guys.
It's just, I mean, come on.
He was standing at a really tall, high spot on the castle and just looked out the window.
Cersei's short-sighted. They don't really talk about it in the show.
Yeah.
She's like squinting. She's squinting like, all the time. Right? Fine.
Should we talk about Cersei?
I think she'd go out like that?
I have a couple of things here. I did notice that there were, and this is me just like, reaching with all my might to find some sort of storytelling going on. But I think that they were trying to do reflections and duality with the queens.
Yeah.
So you had one queen who's just like, I'm going to burn everything. And then you had another queen who's looking at everything burning and saying, the red keep's never fallen, the red keep's never fallen. Oh, okay, the red keep is falling, I'm going to go. And so there is that sort of, you know, face-to-faceness. There was also the issue of incest, you know, with John kind of turning away and Jaime coming running back. So there are certain elements, I think, of them trying to sort of...
You're really reaching.
I'm trying to give them credit because I've loved this show for like however many years of my life now and I just want it to be more than what it is. But yeah, Cersei going out the way she did, is she out?
Yeah, she's out. Yeah, I reckon so. I mean, I think I did like to see, there's a thread going through like when people comment on the show or write articles of the show that Cersei's not as smart as she thinks she is. And so like, it was kind of funny in a way to see everything she said, like not come true, you know, our soldiers will like fight to the last man and they gave up straight away. You know, the Red Keep will never fall. There's nothing left of the Red Keep at this point. I did kind of like that a bit. I mean, she gets her comeuppance, but
does she?
No,
a little bit.
She does.
I was telling Ian, I want a more glorious death. I want to see, after all Cersei's done, I want to see a more painful death.
Yes, and here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. When I was thinking about it, I'm like, am I just a bloodthirsty? You know, have I Game of Thrones? You know, messed me up beyond repair. But this is what it is. All of Cersei's enemies, right? They've had those really visual, gory, affecting death.
Yes.
I mean, think back to Watermelon Guy. You know, think back to
Red Wedding.
Red Wedding. No, I mean the stabbing and the slitting and like, and if we have to see Robb Stark's body with his direwolf's head sewn on him, then you owe us this death. You owe us something.
It felt like Arya should have gone through as opposed to getting all the way to the map room in the Red Keep and saying, all right, I'll turn around and head back now.
No, but I get that, right? Like, that was what the Hound was saying. if you keep going, you'll end up like me.
That was Arya choosing life. Right? Over death.
And I'm I'm okay with that. I was quite happy
me
with
too.
That. Yeah. I also really like Cersei's line, that begging line of, I don't want our child to die. I want our child to live.
Too late.
Too late, but I also wanted a more glorious death.
I thought Jaime was going to kill her. Because you know that scene where he kills Euron.
Yes.
And even though he still has time to utter the world's most stupid dying sentence, and then he takes the sword and he walks off, right? And I'm like, I'm hoping that sword is, as he was comforting her, as he was holding her in the map room, I'm like, stab her. Now is the time. You guys die together. You're dying anyway. Your baby's not going to make it. You can see it. You're a soldier.
Yeah, because
just do it.
There's that prophecy, right? That's in the books, but not in the show. That part of the prophecy is not in the show, right?
Exactly. So, but maybe in the end, he did, you know, lead her to a dead end, and now they're just buried under stuff. So he did kill her by stupidity. I don't know.
Maybe the next episode is just the two of them under a rock as he slowly chokes her.
I don't know. I would have wanted to have seen more. I liked the fact that even after all of this, Jaime is still trying to save Cersei, the woman he loves, but I still want to see Cersei go through a painful death.
So I'm incredibly mad about that point, about Jaime and Cersei, I don't like the fact that you have had Jaime go through all of these changes right over the seasons.
Except this one thing.
I mean, he's in a toxic relationship, I get it, but there's so much about everything that has come before with Jaime, right? All the changes that he's had to go through, all the moments of loss and realization of, I'm a different Jaime Lannister now. I'm not, you know, the golden child of, you know, and just having all those things. That moment with Brienne was the tipping point, I think, where you go like, maybe he's going back to kill her. Mm. And then this episode just kind of throws all of Jaime's character development out the door and turns him into he's just a twin. He's just a twin trying to get back to his twin at the end. And I just didn't like that. I mean, why build him up?
I think it's all this dark timeline aspect of it is that, like, the age of heroes is like, your heroes are not going to save the day. Jaime gets there and waves his hand around and no one notices. Like, he got there too late to get Cersei to do anything. Arya turns around and heads back. We'll get to Clegane Bowl in a bit, I suppose. But, like, it is all these heroes fall. The soldiers give up their... The Lannister soldiers give up, and like Jon is like, stop it, but he can't do anything to stop it. It looks like, you know, we wondered earlier in the season whether it was going to go for the happy ending for some people and death for many others, but it looks like it's going for the season, the kind of theme of everything's bad. Like your heroes will, your men of honor and women of honor will die without making a lasting change on the world, or, you know, and all that's left is the people who took power and unfortunately will not be great. I think that's the kind of message he seems to be going. They seem to be going for. Maybe it's based off George Martin's notes. Maybe they've gone off script a bit. But it is that idea of, like, no one gets a happy ending, and all that's left over is the people who survived, and they take over in the end.
I'm okay with that. I just want a satisfying ending. Yeah. I don't want a happy.
It's not
ending.
Getting there. It's not getting there. I'm really sure of that now.
Yeah. And for me, the point I knew that was when Arya stabbed the Night King, and that was the end of the episode.
Mm.
To me, that was it. That was like, huh, you built all this up. There's all this talk about legend and myths and Bran the Builder and the Fire Prince, Azar Ahai, something. Mm-hmm. All these things that throughout 7 seasons, and suddenly now it's like, boop, stabby, stabby.
That's it. And it was just an accident that she got the spot. Good for you, Arya. Yeah. As Arya was making her way, I found myself thinking of Bran. I didn't think I'd miss him. Mm. I mean, who ever would miss Bran? But there I was, you know, and I was just thinking, I'm like, so if we're not going to see...
I wonder what Bran's doing.
I wonder
right
what
now.
Bran and Sansa were up to. And I'm like, what is going to happen to them? You know, we began our story with the Starks. We opened the season with the Starks. And now they are going to be a 15-minute footnote at the end of everything because they don't have time. They don't have time to resolve.
Yeah, no, they don't.
And who is Bran anyway? What is a three-eyed raven?
What is the whole thing about the three-eyed raven?
It's all very unsatisfying. And like... Let's talk a little bit about... Okay, let's just run through the deaths, right?
Okay,
that happened because there were quite a few.
Yep.
So we opened with Varys writing a letter. Who do we think to?
I don't know. Just
We don't care anymore,
but
I see.
Did he send it? I thought he burned it.
He burned one later, but he was writing one early. I mean, does he take that long to write letters? He has been writing for a while.
Did he hand it off to the kitchen girl that we're suddenly supposed to
I'm
care
sure.
about as well?
Is she talking about Dany not eating? She said he's not eating, right? I was confused by that. I thought she said he's not eating as opposed to she's not eating. I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Good for you. Once again, good for you. Yeah. The rest of the episode.
But even Varys, like the Tarly's got like a horrifying burning death, right?
Yeah.
They cut away from Varys.
Yes.
You don't get to see him.
Don't see him burn off.
But no. I guess the rings thing is just like, I know I'm going.
Oh no! Yeah, that was fine. I mean, he knew he was gonna die. He knew it was happening. I think
it was a pretty beautiful goodbye, actually. You know, goodbye, old friend. Mm. That
touch from Tyrion, and he was like surprised at it because they're so jokey and all the stuff they've been through.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful. Honestly, the dragon emerging from the shadows, I mean, you know he's there. Mm. But when he comes out, I didn't know he was there. I figured he was there.
I didn't know.
Nobody else had like a broadsword or anything. Yeah. And I'm like, you're probably going to, you're going to burn him. And
I didn't know. I was like, when you first heard that first rumble, I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, I think that was a good death. I like to think that Varys would have thought that is a worthy way to go, you know, like in service of the throne, in service of who he believed to be worthy of the throne. It's about time, kind of. It's more like a surprise he never got caught before.
Yeah, and it's also kind of inspiration for Tyrion now as well, where he says, I hope I'm not wrong, right? He hopes that this is worth it, and I hope I'm wrong about Daenerys. But obviously Tyrion spent the rest of the episode moping and thinking, oh no, he was right.
I am super wrong. Yeah. So we had Varys at the start. We had, who was next? Was it Euron somewhere in the middle?
There were a whole bunch of unnamed
people. Golden Company, whoever that guy was, they're all gone.
Yeah, just, you know.
That was a whole build up for nothing.
All she's done is to figure out to attack from the back, which is also something she's taught Grey Worm. So good. Joy for everyone.
Yay.
Was Qyburn next? Yeah. I felt a little sad for him. He was so blindly loyal, and just to go out like that with the monsters, it's Qyburn's monster. He's Frankenstein, right?
Mm. Yeah, but do you think he was blindly loyal? I always looked at him a little side eye in the sense that it feels like he's playing his own game as well. Yeah. I thought as much.
I always thought he just supported the woman who gave him the lab.
Yeah.
You know, to make everything. That's pretty much all he was happy about. It's like...
He was really thankful to his angel investor.
So, I mean, Qyburn goes. And then we've already talked about the Lannister twins, which I'm not satisfied. Mm. I'm not.
The rule
with Game of Thrones, right? The rules that we have always known to be true is you have to see them go.
You
have to see the light leaving their eyes, and then you know they're dead. That's how you know. And so the fact that suddenly in the last season, we're suddenly just like, he's burning, you kind of know, and everybody's just watching. Okay, fine. Euron doesn't die. Euron just sits there breathing heavily, but you know it's a mortal wound. Yeah. Nobody who dies, none of the main characters who had their ends, had a satisfying just
death.
We know for sure they're dead. And it's really frustrating.
I think the Clegane's are definitely dead, right? They went in fire and a long fall. Wow. They've got to be dead.
That was unsatisfying too.
Yeah. You didn't like that?
I didn't like the Clegane Bowl. This whole thing about the Clegane Bowl. Oh, I'm going to meet my brother. I'm going to kill him. Blah, blah. And then it's like, really? That was it?
Look, it's Darth Vader under the helmet.
it was an okay fight. The fight with the mountain against the serpent was a lot nicer. That was a lot more satisfying.
I was thinking of the Hound versus Brienne, where that was a great fight.
Yeah.
And you felt it. And you could feel people trying to just like beat the life out of each other. And in this case, because one's a zombie, it's kind of like, I get it. You guys are trying to be so poetic. The Hound goes in fire. I understand.
Oh, I missed that. I did dislike the fact that no matter what Sandor did, like the mountain just caused, like he wasn't even to take his sword out for the first couple of minutes of the fight. No. He was just like batting the sword away and letting himself get stabbed. It's like the guy's impervious to damage.
No, but it was also the kind of thing where I think they missed a beat there. You could have seen him get stabbed and then you go, oh, wait, that's right. There's a moment of dramatic tension that they could have built up there. But no, they was just standing there getting beat up like a tree. And then
But
that was a bit later on though, right?
But the thing to the eye.
Yeah, I was like, stab him in the brain. Stop stabbing him in the neck.
But then that doesn't work. And I think it's like the Dracarys Night King moment where you think, by all the rules of all that works, this is going to work. And then it doesn't work. And you're like, oh, I think the true goodbye for Sandor Clegane was to Arya. And so that was satisfying. That was a beautiful thing.
That was a nice moment.
Yeah, because all the beautiful moments are when the characters are actually talking to each other or doing something. Yeah. Not just, Dany does the most damage through the whole episode. And you barely see her because she's just a dragon.
She's just on the back. You just make out the speck at times. Is like, was she even on there?
It's 3 pixels. It's just, that was unsatisfying, right? And you don't see, other than that moment you mentioned, Lynn, about when she's on the dragon after she's essentially won.
Yeah.
Right. Other than that, you don't see her going through a thing. You don't see her emotionally either
cackling in mad rage while she burns the citizenry
or fighting the urge of it, yeah, or some, there's no, we don't even see her, let alone see a reaction. That just felt like, wow.
Okay. So let's just, we can return to this, but just to jump ahead, right? I was watching her burn things because that's all the episode is, right? 80% is Danny burns things. So I was watching her do it and thinking, you think you're going to rule by fear.
Yeah.
But you're burning your own men. Because at a certain point, she's not caring anymore, right? She's just sort of... And so in that sense, like, she endangered the lives of everybody on the ground. Literally everyone. Things were falling and just... And I looked at that and I thought, how do you come back from that? Mm. There is no coming back from this, is there? I mean, she's killed off, I don't know how many percent of her population in King's Landing.
There's a million people living there, right?
Plus the entirety of all of King's Landing's buildings and everything.
Correct. They're all just ash
at this point.
And she doesn't feel loved, right, in Westeros. She made that very clear. Mm. She doesn't feel loved across the Narrow Sea.
And that's hell of a way to go getting that love. I mean, that's when she said that to Jon and she's like, you know, if it's going to be love or fear or whatever. And it's like, well, then do something that will inspire love, stupid. You're not even trying. You're just sulking in your room. You're not going out there and, I don't know, using your dragon to drop bread on the starving or any of that kind of stuff.
And that's the thing. I don't...
She needs a better campaign manager.
I don't see her descent into madness.
Yeah. Mm.
Other than that one clip in this episode where she's huddling in some dungeon, whatever she's doing, I don't see that descent into madness.
Yeah, she looked pretty rough in that. It was like, I've not been sleeping, you know, got that kind of mad queen look. But then she was fine on the battlefield, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I think Florence mentioned, I mean, going back to Florence, who wrote us on Facebook, that point about that scene in episode 4 at the feast, right? Where she looks at him and you can hear the mad people voices starting in the back and her kind of fighting the urge. Those moments, you need either more of or you need something else to support that other than the fact that she's just basically stopped listening to all her advisors.
Yeah.
She is now jealous of her nephew boyfriend. She is, you know, it's just...
She's concentrating on the past as well. She's like fretting over what has been done as opposed to what needs to be done. Which I think is the Mad King was kind of worried about, you know, not planning for the future. He was just trying to blow everything up, really, instead of like saying, oh, well, everyone's turned against me, as opposed to here's how I get them back on side. Because everything in Game of Thrones has always been a reaction, from like the Red Wedding to Ned's death. It's like they're always moving forward because you can't dwell on these things because then you die. So she's going to dwell on these things, so she's going to die?
Hopefully. As we began and there were these conversations between Dany and Jon Snow, all I could think of was, I want you both to go away. I'm so sick of the both of you. At least Jon is acting within character.
Yeah.
But everyone else, he knows nothing.
I'm getting tired of that.
Right.
I'm getting tired. Like, first couple of seasons, it was this noble, innocent, naive Jon. And now it's just like, good God, Jon, just do something.
Some strategy would be useful
this point. Yeah. And it just Jon Snow's becoming really annoying right now.
That's what
he's
saying.
He's just becoming really annoying. Just like, die, will you please?
A boring king is probably a good one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that's the thing that the show is trying to sell us. The fact that he doesn't want to be king, the fact that...
The reluctant leader will probably be the better one.
Correct.
Yeah. A vote for Jon is a vote for mediocrity and boring.
I mean, that's definitely going to be the case.
Yeah.
And it makes you revisit all of Jon throughout the show as well with a renewed sense of irritation, or at least it did me. So all the times that people have rallied around this passive, sulking little thing,
yes,
you know, who didn't want anything. He has very few desires, Jon. What he wants is always shaped by the world's needs, which makes him a very good king, but it doesn't make him a very compelling TV character.
Mm.
It was fine for a while.
Yes.
It really was fine. Because there was this real sense of, oh, he has to do it because he's the Neo, the chosen one, right?
And it's the hero's journey, right? He has to be reluctant for a bit, but when you get halfway around the circle, you're supposed to get the knowledge, which
is
basically him dying.
We're not halfway around the circle.
We're three quarters way around.
This is an episode away from the end of the circle.
Yeah.
This
the hero's
is like
journey,
the doomsday clock. This is 11:55.
You're supposed to have your adventure and come back with the forbidden knowledge or the magic knowledge, which then you use to change the world.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you go off into the sunset or your happy ending. But you can never be part of the world that you were once part of.
Yes.
Because the knowledge you have gained over the course of your adventures
changes you.
Has changes you, and you have to go off with the elves to the other place.
The other thing.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't happen. In
it's not happening. He still hasn't kind of clicked. Like, he, there's a point where he has to stop being just Jon Snow who knows nothing and become the statesman. And he hasn't done that. No one doesn't,
or the leader.
He doesn't want to do that too. So that's the thing.
The thing is, he's done it. He got the wildlings together. He got the Night's Watch together. Yeah. He's done it. He needs to stop whining about it and just continue to do it.
He just needs to realize that he's done it and that's his role now in the story and just do it.
But I guess it's a failing in the plot because they can't just have him spend half an hour convincing Dany not to do it, because he could probably, if he was anyway the good leader that he is, he would probably be able to do that. But the needs of the story they want to tell doesn't support that. So they just have, it comes back to when he tells her about like his birthright, and it's like they just cut away from that conversation instead of having like, I don't know, a screaming tantrum or a weird conversation. They just cut away to get to the walls.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, it's, you know, builds tension, but it's bad storytelling. It's unsatisfying. You'd be like, of course someone says something to you, unless you're on Falcon Crest and you cut to the ad for next week or EastEnders or a soap opera. Yeah. There should be a conversation there.
What do we think is going to happen to Tyrion? Because Tyrion has done a couple of things, right? He's very much on the bubble with this increasingly mad queen. I mean, Jon, we know, is setting up to be like an open antagonist, even though he's like, oh, you're my queen. But
I really don't want to stab you, but I will.
But she definitely doesn't view it that way.
Yeah.
So with Tyrion, though, who released his brother, and that was a beautiful scene too, where he finally got to say, basically, thank you.
And he knew it was the end. I mean, it was a nice moment. You mentioned Jamie again. Jamie actually used his hand as well in fight against Euron. He actually used the metal hand for
once.
Finally. Yeah. I was like, duh. But that was a really nice moment. When he took out the key as well, Jamie was not expecting it. He thought he was going to die there by the look on his face. It was just, again, nice acting.
Actually, when Jamie walked in and they flashed to his hand, I was just like, you are still wearing the hand?
Yes.
Are you kidding me with this? And then Tyrion, what is wrong with you?
Tyrion out his surrogate is like, did you consider taking it off?
It's just,
that was nice.
Yeah. But Tyrion, though, I mean, he's betrayed in her world, betrayed her. Yeah. He told on her regarding her parentage or John's parentage. And now he's let his brother go. He tried to engineer it so that she would hold back on the fire, which she did not. So where is it going to go? I mean, he's an ineffective hand at this point, and he's a Lannister.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And she warned him, the next time you fail me will be your last. So threatening, but it was pretty much something along those lines.
Yeah, I don't know if Tyrion's going to go back to camp. I don't know if he'll end up back at camp.
Just go off and walk the earth, riding
lungs. Yeah, just like, no, because look.
Take the dinghy.
Yeah. He knows where it is.
The plot dinghy.
Yeah. And I think in that sense, he saw Dany make the decision to go against him.
Yeah.
Right? The bells had been rung. Everybody had given up. She knew it. He knew it. He knows. She knows it. And yet, she still sort of goes in guns a-blazing.
And like he had wanted to try and he wanted to be her hand to try and temper that rage. I probably reckon it's not going to end well for him. And his death at the hands of Dany will be probably what spurs on someone to off her.
She kills her own hand.
Oh, man.
I think...
Because that'll be like, you killed your own hand. Who's like...
I don't know. I think it's going to happen before... I partly think it's going to happen before that. I don't think the murder of your own hand is going to be the kicker. I think the murder of just innocent people in King's Landing is going to drive someone, i.e. Jon Snow, to go, you crazy.
Almost every hand on the show has died.
Yeah,
so by the hands of their ruler.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
But for their circle, I mean, like Ser Davos might get annoyed, or Jon might say, wow, that's really the one that broke the camel's back, or, you know. Arya might then just like wear his face and kill somebody.
Ser Davos has pretty much become Medicine Sans Frontier, hasn't he? I love him. I love him. I'm not sure.
Hilarious if he ends up on the throne. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, everybody else did. I guess I'll sit here.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. It did as well. Someone pointed out on Twitter, speaking of like the throne, there was Dany's prophecy from the time with the wizards guys. Remember that? Where her dragons were tiny and they took her dragons and stuff because it made their
hands
magic work.
Of the harp. The harpies? Is it the harpies?
No, it was before that. It was the wise men and marine or whatever it was. Were they wise men and marine?
Yes, I remember when the wives took her back in.
Yeah, and when she went to go to get her dragons back, there was a couple of visions.
Okay.
And there was one of Khal Drogo. There was also one of King's Landing covered in ash. Like the throne room was destroyed. Remember that?
Oh, wow. Look at that, guys. They planned it all. I'm so mad.
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder, like, she will get there and it'll be destroyed, but like, it'll that push her over the edge? So like, well, I fought for this.
Now it's just ash.
Now
maybe she's going to Tommen. You know, maybe she's just going to Tommen it out. Just like, oh, I can't believe I did all this. And
peace out.
Yeah.
The window.
I don't know. Look, we didn't like the episode, but if you did, please write to us and tell us why. Movies@bfm.my. We would love to hear from you. I would actually love to read a strong support of this episode just because I want the show to pull it back. I just don't feel they can. But let us know what you thought. Movies@bfm.my. All right. So it is the penultimate episode, not just of Game of Thrones, but also of A Song of Ice and Spoilers. We should, I guess, at the start, we kind of looked at what our predictions were going to be. We threw some out into the air.
No one really predicted it would be rubbish.
Nobody saw that coming.
Especially not after those first two episodes. Yeah. I would never have thought it was going to be so rubbish. But what do we want now? Okay, we're at the end. Mm. Where do we see this going?
I want 7 years of my life back. I mean, look, I enjoyed the other seasons, but with this ending, you know what I was thinking about earlier? This entire season has just felt like those last two scenes of The Sopranos.
Mm. We all have our... This is like we should have learned from something before. I should have learned from Lost. I shouldn't have gotten so invested. I should have learned from Battlestar Galactica. I shouldn't have gotten so invested. It happens every time. And then that last episode is like, you just messed me over. What the hell?
This has been... Yeah.
It's a big time investment, TV shows. Yeah. This one in particular.
What I want for the next one, I want an actual ending. I want something to happen. I want something to happen to so that I know that there's a king on the throne, or they've suddenly gone into democracy and they've set up a Senate.
I think the democracy plan is gone. I think that's forget about it. Yeah, that's not gonna
happen.
I just
want something. I don't want one of those just like,
There's no one left to form a government.
I know.
There's no one left to form a voting body of people. There's like three people left in King's Landing.
There's not enough people to form a Macarena line.
I vote for the Queen. Yeah, no opposition. I'm not going to. You have to be the opposition. I don't want to be. I'll get burned. I think it's going to go with the circular logic thing. Like it began with, you know, the plucky heroes taking over the kingdom and, you know, that not turning out so well for either of them, Ned and Robert. And it's probably going to go back to that again where you get what you want, but it's actually, you know, it's the cake is no longer good. It's actually rubbish inside. It's trash. You know, it's wet garbage inside the cake that you thought you wanted. So she may be the king, but everyone we love and know is dead. Queen, sorry. And she's just alone and mad on the throne and, you know, some plucky peasants draws a sword and then we fade to black. I don't know. I think it's not going to end.
Yeah, that's not the ending I want.
Yeah. That is not.
I don't think we're getting the ending we want, though. I think the ending we want is gone based upon this episode.
I just want an ending. I want an ending. I want a full stop end. I don't want a dot, dot, dot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want a hanging thing. I just want it to end. Give me an ending.
I have, for a long time, kind of hooked a lot of my interests in Game of Thrones on characters. Mm. And not necessarily the characters that I like. You know, I've always wanted to know what Cersei was going to do. I've always wanted to know what... Even Stannis, you know, like they have motivations. I'm interested in them. I want to know. Mm. And so this show has betrayed my trust to the degree that I no longer can do that because the characters are not the characters anymore. So all I hope is that there is a satisfying ending for Sansa Stark, who is the one character who has continued to make sense throughout this entire season, who has wanted to feed people, who has had a good strategy in mind, who is the Lady of Winterfell, and who will be the power in the North when all this is over. That's all I want.
Well, unless the next episode is Dany deciding, right, I've gotten rid of all my enemies in King's Landing, now it's time to go and get Sansa.
And then Jon will kill her. I don't know.
And then we cut to Tyrion and Ser Davos on a boat fishing and whistling. And that's the end. They just happen.
Oh, that'd be great.
They're just whistling and fishing at the end.
Or like a Shawshank Redemption thing. Someone's just by the sea.
Yeah.
Say what's in hail.
Yeah. I'll be okay with that. Yeah. They just go off to like marine or something and just like leave.
Tyrion climbs over a wall and Ser Davos is there shaving the boat.
Yeah, just leave these people to do the thing.
Send us your predictions. We are at movies@bfm.my. Next week, of course, it is the final episode of Game of Thrones ever. It will also be the final episode, therefore, of A Song of Ice and Spoilers. It might be a mega-sized one. We haven't quite decided yet. It really will depend on how worth the show is talking about by then.
Or worthless.
I don't know. But do send in your thoughts. Let us know what you thought, especially if you liked it. movies@bfm.my. You've been listening to A Song of Ice and Spoilers. BFM 89.9.